It's a great opportunity to be here. I'm very blessed. These chances don't come around, but man, I tell you what, it's a joy to be in God's house tonight. And July 1st, right dab in the middle of the year. Would you believe it already? I mean, this year is flying. So anyway, it's, like I said, it's a blessing to be here. I'm going to start with a message, but here's a question I have. And I'm going to be asking this question throughout the service, is where am I? Where am I? So, you know, during the service, think about it. At the end, think about it again and see if anything changed. I want to start with a story. There was a lady, that a family, there was a knock at the door. Well, she, who's that? So she went up there, opened the door. It was a teenage girl. And she goes, yeah, can I help you? She says, well, I'm here to babysit your children. She says, no, you must have the wrong house. No, you got the wrong house. Well, anyway, her husband snuck behind her and says, nope, she's watching the kids tonight. We're going out. Well, she was so excited. She just, I mean, this is an opportunity she'd been wanting for a long time because it was just the same old boring routine in life. And her husband surprised her and said, hey, we're going out. So she went upstairs, got all fixed up, put that, he wanted her to wear that new red dress she hadn't wore yet for a special occasion, so she put that on. So they got all together, they got all dressed up, went out the door, and guess what happened? They walked to the court, to the car. He opened the door for her. where has that gone? But anyway, they got in the car, driving to the restaurant she always wanted to talk about, that she always wanted to go to, but they never went. So, but on the way there, her husband explained and said, you know, dear, we've been rushed. We've been working overtime. The kids is really, you know, taking them to the ball games and stuff. We haven't really spent time together. Well, she was excited, I mean, you know, to even have that conversation. They get to the restaurant. They walk in, and there's a rose sitting on the table that he planned ahead of time to have a rose sitting on the table. Boy, here she goes again. What a night. So the night went well, and the next morning she went to work, and boy, she had to tell all the ladies what happened that night. She was just so excited. I mean, my husband, you know, she got dressed up, went to the special restaurant I went to. I had that meal I always wanted, that steak and lobster meal. I've been wanting that for a long time. He even talked to me and told me how much he cared about me. And it was just a thrill of her life. She just talked about that all day long, all day long. Well, the next Friday, knock on the door again. Babysitter was there. She goes, what again? Same routine. They went out to that restaurant. He had to talk with her. I mean, she was just, you know, excited. Well, it happened again the third Friday. Happened again the fourth Friday. Well, things didn't seem so exciting anymore because it was the same routine, same thing over and over again. And she was wishing, said, you know, something could be changed, you know, make it different. He could have took me out to the movies after the restaurant, you know, or took me to a different restaurant, or he could have took me shopping. So there's things that he could have done, but that same routine didn't seem so thrilling anymore after a while. So that's what the message is about, was where am I? And where am I in my growth in my ministry? Where am I in my growth in my spirituality? Am I growing spiritually? Or am I stuck in that same routine that just come to church on Sunday morning and that's it? And not get involved in anything else. So you're saying, what can I do? You know, I want to do something, but really don't know what to do. If you go to First Chronicles chapter 28, First Chronicles chapter 28 verses 9 and 10. If you want to know who that is, it's pretty much in the middle of the Old Testament, and it's right before Second Chronicles. If that would help you. First Chronicles chapter 28 verses 9 and 10. If you're there, say amen. As for you, my son Solomon, know that the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understanding, all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. So be strong and do it. So King David gave Solomon some words, principles through life to grow by. In other words, what he's trying to say here is, I got 6 points here. Number one, get to know God personally. You could do that by prayer, continually being in prayer and seeking what he wants you to do in his life. Come to him and say, hey, Lord, you know, I failed you today. And you could mention that kind of thing. Build that personal relationship up. Pray for strength. Pray for courage. Pray again, what can you use me for? Second, learn God's commands and discover what he wants you to do. You could do this by staying in God's word and studying God's word. Just stay in it and study it. Not just reading it, but studying it. He will let you know what he wants you to do. Worship God with a wholehearted devotion. When you come to service, apply your heart to his words. Just don't listen to him with your ears. Apply his words to your heart. Serve God with a willing mind. Now, God knows all of our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He even knows our motives behind of what we're thinking. So have those pure thoughts just for him and to do his will. Number five, be faithful. Be faithful. Number six, don't be discouraged. There's times that you may think, man, this is just too much. I can't handle it. I don't have the time. Well, just ask God for help. He will guide you through these times when you're trying to grow and move on. So, you know, what David was trying to say is keep a constant contact with God. Grow with him. Grow spiritually. Grow in the ministry, because the more you grow, you build that relationship, and you just have the good feeling that God is there beside you at all times. So you're asking, well, what can I do maybe? What are you talking about, Ronnie? I says, well, maybe you got saved and you weren't going to church, but now you're saved and you're going to church every Sunday now. You're feeling good. But every Sunday after a while, it's like that routine that lady had, that it kind of faded after a while, that good feeling she had. And that's why God looks at us and says, why ain't you growing towards me? You could go to Sunday school. You could go to evening service on Sunday, just not the morning. You could go on a mission trip. You could work VBS. You could work outreach. And believe it or not, when you do these things, when you go to outreach, you don't know who you're going to influence. Somebody might say, where are you going? I said, well, we're going to outreach today. Well, I might go with you, you know. So that's how we grow and help others grow, by working together in one accord. But on the other hand, some people, sometimes in our lives, there's so much going on, we don't do the things we used to do. We used to be involved in outreach, but not anymore. We used to go to Sunday school all the time, but not anymore. So you got to get with God and say, God, give me that strength. Give me that time I need. Help me set the priorities in my life of where I need to go. A lot of times we say, well, you know what, Ronnie, it sounds good, but that's too hard. I just don't have enough time to do all these things. Or I'm just too tired. I'm just too tired to do anything. Well, it comes to mind when I did my study is what Paul faced when he was growing, when he was ministering to his people. So if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to start off in verse 3, and we're going to go on to verse 10. Paul's hardships. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry would not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we command ourselves in every way in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, in bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and we not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing yet possessing everything. So picture what Paul went through in his ministry, starvations, beatings, and everything else. So we have to look at, where am I at? Where am I at in my growth in ministry? Where am I at is growing spiritually? You can see all the hardships that Paul, again, endured. So maybe you could use it as a guide. It says, hey, you know, I'm not going to come today because it's raining out there. I can't come to church. It's raining. I mean, it's flooding just like yesterday. Or you can say, man, like I'm too tired, like I mentioned earlier. What kind of hardships is that considered what Paul faced in his ministry? So that's a sign of just growing closer to him. Just like King David said to Solomon, this is the routine you need in your life. This is how you grow closer to him. This is your way of life that you need to be constantly in prayer, constantly in fellowship with God. And he will guide you through these times. You may seem hard. You may not have the time. You may be too tired. But again, God's going to be there for you and guide you and direct you because you're working for him. Your focus is on him. I want to touch on a couple of the verses. Back to verse 3, in everything we do, considering our actions, communicated about Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, you are a minister of God. Don't let your careless, undisciplined action be another person's focus on rejecting Christ. If you have bad attitudes, don't be a testimony. Don't have the light of the world that Christ wants us to be in. Don't be the salt of the earth. What kind of testimony is that? It could cause someone not to want to become a Christian. It could cause someone, well, why should I go to church? Look the way he acts. In verse 7, right hand is usually considered an offense hand. Left hand is usually considered the defense hand. So when we go into battle and soldiers did, the right hand was offense, he had the sword. The left hand was a defense, he usually had it as shield. In our Christian walk, that's what we need to be. Be ready to offend ourselves, offend God's word, and defend God's word. Let them know how. Let everybody know how you're growing spiritually, and just it let everybody know also that, hey, look at me. Look at what God has done in my life. I have grown so much, and just let them know how much you have grown. And that, hey, guys, man, I'm going to church. Why don't you go with me? I'm going to Sunday school. Why don't you go with me? It's a joy to be in God's house. It's just a total joy to do his work. It's a joy to read God's word, not just reading it, but studying it, knowing what he's trying to apply in my life. In verse 8, Christians don't have to give into public opinion and pressure. Another one, stay faithful to God when people praise you or condemn you. Remain active, joyous, and content in hardships. When we face those hardships, just take it with joy. I mean, that's a sign of growing. That's a sign of growing closer to him. Don't let circumstances or people's expectations control you. Another one, be firm as you stand true to God. Then in verse 10, this is one I really like, is where it says, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, pure yet making many rich. We're rich in God's word. We're rich in being with God and having him in our hearts. Because we're rich because we're gaining our treasures in heaven. Having nothing yet possessing everything. What more is there to be? What greater joy is there to be than being saved? You know, giving your life to Christ, that salvation. That, I mean, it's just the just the joy again. I just can't say enough how joyful it is to be in God's Word and getting closer to Him and building that relationship with Him. If you turn to Psalms 96, we're going to read just verses 1 through 6. This is related to verse 10 I just read. Psalms 96. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Are we there? Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among all nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are His sanctuary. This is the God that created all, the one and only true God there is. All the other ones are just people's gods that are dead and made of clay and iron. I mean, that's no, they can't do anything for you. God created everything there is. So Paul is saying, I do these things not to be boasting or bragging. I do these things because I honor God in my way of life. Again, that's what we're asking, where am I? Where am I in my Christian walk? Where am I in my ministry? Am I growing? So Paul, like I said, is so faithful, regardless of what he's faced in his beatings and imprisonment, hunger, cold. He was there continuing on, just praising God, and give me the next day, I'm for you again. It's that joy we have again, that we just grow constantly. When you grow closer to Him, it's just like this church service. The love we have for each other, just the being together and praising God and worshiping Him for all the things He's done in our life. So again, where are we? Where am I? We have to look at ourselves sometime and examine ourselves. Are we doing what we need to do? Are we growing spiritually? If not, what can I do? What can I do in ministry work? There's a lot here to be done. And there's a lot of people in this church that does a lot here. Especially I heard all the painting going on. That's a ministry. You're not doing it for the school. You're doing it to praise God for giving you that opportunity to do so. I mean, it's all for Him. This church and that school is tied together. That's a Christian school. It's just not a public school. So they have an opportunity to listen to God's Word and hear how much the school is doing for Him. So where are you? But what if you pray to God and you say, you know what? My Christian walk is kind of stale. I'm not really growing like I want to. I'm knowing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm reading Your Word, but I'm still not growing. Well, pray to God. Say, God, give me strength. Give me that wisdom I need to turn to You. Show me where I'm failing at. There might be some sin in my life that's hampering your growth towards Christ. So you don't want you don't want Him to answer your prayer when you ask Him, where are you? Because He might turn around and say, well, where are you? Just like the schools, the shooting at the schools. People ask, well, where was God? Why did God allow a guy come in and kill the students in the school? Where was God? Well, the response one pastor said was, well, you took God out of the school. So that's where we need to apply and see if God is in our heart in our daily walk. I mean, I can name miracle after miracle after miracle in my life that I stayed focused on Him. And He came through. And, you know, the answer to prayers could be, we all know it could be yes. It could be no. It could be wait. Or the answer could be something a little different than when you ask for it. But God does answer His prayer. But don't have sin in your life. Don't have that thing say, you know what, I've done enough for You, God. I'm tired. Even if you're sick in bed, even if you don't even have a car that can't get around, just like Miss Benny, what a prayer warrior she is. She's in the hospital on my visit. She was talking about how she's praying to other people. So that's a ministry she's doing. So no matter what situation we are in life, we always have room to grow. We're all supposed to be growing more and more and more closer to Him. Again, God knows our heart. We don't do things in ministry for show. Do things, the painting, you know, if you do the painting, don't say, hey, look what I'm doing. Say, look what I'm doing for this school. Look what I'm doing for God's house. That's where with the, you know, because God knows our heart. So the prayer is, Lord, is that, Lord, we come to you, Lord, and just say, thank you for all your things you have done for us in our lives, Lord. Thank you for the many blessings. Thank you for giving us this house where we could come into you and praise and worship you, Lord. Lord, open my heart towards you, Lord, so I know what I need to do to grow closer to you. Give me the opportunities to pray to you more and more each day to learn your word, your precious, holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word, Lord. Let me know what it takes me to grow closer to you, because that's my goal, to stay focused on you, Lord. Lord, just anything in my life that hampers me from getting close to you, Lord, get rid of that sin. I confess that sin and just make me grow and turn from it, Lord, and get back to focused on you, Lord. Again, thank you. You're a wonderful, one true living God, Lord. And just thank you again for all the blessings you've given us, Lord, and the opportunity to stand here and give your word, Lord, to others where they may hear. Apply it in their minds, through their minds, and in their hearts. Thank you, Lord. Now, those that may not know God, they're not saved. They've always been waiting for an opportunity. Doors are always open in this church at any time. There's always someone here. You can get with Brother Carr after service. There's always time to do that. And don't wait. Don't wait to say, you know what? I'm going to wait till next week. And maybe I'm not growing fast enough. There's more I want to learn before I give my heart to Christ. Well, you don't know what tomorrow brings. So don't put it off. Just give your heart to God, and He will grow you closer to Him. He will give you the desires of your heart. The desires of my heart is to get closer to Him and in prayer and constant fellowship with Him. Thank you for, again, this opportunity. And it's a blessing. And this is my first time up here doing this. So, you know, I didn't know exactly how to time this out. But, man, I just thank you so much. We're going to have to take prayer requests. And, Brother Ken, we're just going to pray at the end. Just whatever prayer request he has, he's going to pray for it all towards the end. Yes.